Well, friends, we are so excited. We are finishing up our summer series on the Hall of Faith, and it's actually pretty fitting. We are ending this, and we're talking about endings. I've been in ministry for over a decade, and that means that I have been a part of a lot of endings. I've been able to, as a chaplain, sit bedside as people were ending their last days or were healing. I have been in coffee shops sitting across from people having conversations as relationships are struggling or ending or friendships or parenting relationships are hard and youth ministry. Can you have a lot of those conversations? I've sat and I've left churches. I've left churches and communities and neighborhoods having to tell them the hard stories that our time at that church and that community had come to an end and we'd be leaving. And I've sat with these, and these are incredibly hard moments, and I don't know if you have had some hard times and hard moments, but I also think that I would like to have some endings back. I think I haven't ended sometimes as well as I should have. Have you ever thought of conversations that you've had with children or with friends or with coworkers, and you're like, I'd like to have that one back. Nobody, just me? Wow. Teach me how to have better endings. But no, it's been this moment where I feel like I'd like to have many endings. And I think that's sometimes because we often get involved in storytelling through like TV series or movies or novels. And it always seems that these endings are beautiful. Like, have you ever seen a movie where it's like the couple's breaking up, but they're like, let's have one last dance? Who does that? Like, who has one last dance, you know? Or like one last moment, like, right? Or like, you're leaving a position or a company and you're like, thank you so much for firing me. This is a great thing. Like, nobody goes away just so happy. But we get this story, we're sold a bill of goods that says like, endings are this beautiful picture and everything works out, but they don't always do. They're always hard. And they always come to us. Endings happen in many ways. End of life, end of seasons, end of just communities. And we're looking at Jacob this morning. And of all, if you know anything about Jacob, and we'll talk more about Jacob, but the thing that he is hailed for is his ending. His ending. Well, many of the other Hall of Famers were hailed for their faith in action, faith in what they did. But Jacob here is talked and hailed for how he ended his story. And so we're going to look at that. And the big thing that we're going to talk about this morning is this idea that every ending is an opportunity. And I know that sounds like paradox. And we'll talk more about that. But every ending is an opportunity. So if you want to turn in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11, whether you have it physically in hand or digitally, encourage you to get in and look at it, because we don't go through the whole thing, but we're going to pick out a few verses to talk about. So this is Hebrews chapter 11, starting in verse 1, and then we'll jump down to 21. And so it says this. Now, faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command so that what is seen was not made out of what is visible. And now going down to verse 21, it says this. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of Joseph's sons and worshiped as he leaned on top of his staff. Would you join me in prayer this morning? Father, we come here in a myriad of spaces, in a variety of head spaces, especially when we bring up this topic about just the way things end. And God, I know that this might be a sensitive morning for us as we, some might be fresh off of endings, God, some might be on the other side. But we just want you, because on the other side of endings are you. You are the Alpha and Omega. You are the beginning, the end, who was, who is, and who is to come. So Holy Spirit, come this morning, fill our hearts and our minds. Give us eyes to see, ears to hear, and hearts and minds to receive. We ask this in your name. Amen. To set up this idea that Jacob is really good at his ending is one of the things that we talk about with Jacob is that at the end, the first thing he does is worship. Like at the endings is an opportunity to worship. But this is like, you might think of like Jacob as not somebody who worshiped. Like this is the Jacob. Let's go back to, you know, we're talking about endings, but let's talk about beginnings. Like Jacob in his beginning was one who didn't like that his birthright was going to be given to his brother. So he stole it. What an awesome beginning, right? And then his beginning was that it was he had stolen his birthright, and thus his brother was so mad that he had to flee his family and flee his brother because he was afraid. Like, this is the beginnings, like the beginnings of his life. And then not only that, is Jacob decided in his beginning of kind of like reconciliation and experience with God as being called leader, decides to wrestle with God. Like, how many of you, like, think that's a great beginning? Like, you know what? Instead of just, like, other leaders and other, like, the God of Abraham and Isaac and your, like, forefathers who were, like, really good, listen, burning bush things, you know, really good moments, and you decide to wrestle with the Lord. Like, you try to wrestle with the Lord. And so this was his beginning. But at the end of his life, he began to enact what he had learned throughout his entire life. And it says in Hebrews, it says that right with that faith in 21, that Jacob, when he was dying, he blessed each of his sons, and he worshiped as he leaned on top of his staff. And you might be like, at first, when we read it just previously, or if you've read this before, like you might have like missed by this. This leaning on a staff is a memory back to him wrestling with God. And that every day since being marked by God with that limp, he has been leaning on a staff. And so at the end of his life, he utters this desire to be a worshiper who worships knowing that it is the staff is a representation of the moment that he met God, and he is going to worship God, not for the healing that he went through, but the moment he met God. That he worship and says, my dependence upon you physically, that I have to have a staff to walk on for every moment in my elderly days is a representation of my dependence on you, God, that you have brought me even to this moment. He worships God. And you might, and we talked about that a little bit, that seems kind of counterintuitive, a paradox to say that at the ending is a place where we worship. That at the ending is the place that we worship. So what you're saying, Austin, is that at the ending that is painful, you worship. At endings that are bittersweet, we're called to worship. At the endings that are joyful, we're meant to worship. That in all spaces and endings, no matter how they happen, and anywhere in between those categories, the idea that we get from Jacob and that we hail as Hall of Famers and that he is shown and the story is collected for him is at the end of all things, you worship. You worship. As a testimony that your life is in an utter dependence from the one in which you came. But endings are not only in this time an opportunity to worship, but Jacob takes it as endings as an opportunity to bless. How many times have you experienced funerals? And I've been at many of them as a pastor that aren't always one that are rooted in Jesus or stories about people at the end when it becomes about them. Either the things that they wish they had done or a reminder to the loved ones of what they have done and what they are giving them and provided. That the endings become me endings. They're about my life, my accomplishments, my feelings. Right? Even in that moment of where we live in a culture where you say that you are to go out and get yours, get the next promotion, get the next thing, like do what you can to make the next step on the uphill climb of status or social life. That you are to do whatever you can, and it becomes about such an individualistic society where it's about you over everybody else. At the end of a life, even right, you see that Jacob, who is hailed later in all over Scripture as the God of Isaac, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. It could be all about Jacob. It could be all about these fathers of faith that are leading the people, that the people tell stories about. Be like Isaac, be like Abraham, be like Jacob, be like them. It could always be a moment like that. And you know, sometimes when you get to that place where your head gets a little big, you all of a sudden say, oh, it is about me. And in that opportunity where he could take and gather the people around and say, look what I did for you. Instead of it becoming a me ending, which is so common in our story, this is what happens. In Genesis 49, this is what it says in the culmination. You can read each one of the blessings that he gives to his sons, but it says this at the end. All these are the 12 tribes of Israel, the 12 sons. And this is what their father said to them when he blessed them, giving each of them the blessing that was appropriate to him. That instead of becoming this individual, me-centric ending of Jacob's life, who is a patriarch of faith, Jacob, in those fading moments, instead of naming why he is worthy or how he's been worthy of being God's leader, moves from a me to a we. He understands that the next generation and what is about to happen is greater than his ending. And so he takes the time and he focuses on blesses each one of his sons. Like, this isn't a statement where he said all of them. Like, I think in our culture today, in our season of getting everything done fast and productive, he would have gathered all of his sons and he says, I have one statement for all of you. Follow the Lord. Be done. Go. Like, in a place where it's like, instead of, you know, taking the moment and just saying quickly, here is what I need you to know. Good, you go. He takes the time and he focuses not on what he has earned, but what he can pass on to the next generation, the way that he can bless each one of his sons. We has become greater than me. And this is not only hailed as something that we're the patriarchs of the faith, but this is something that we get from Jesus. I can't help but think about Jesus' ending. What happened in the last moments that Jesus was on the cross, in the end of his physical life, that Jesus, as he hung on the cross, I know I would be like, oh man, this is painful. This hurts. Why is this happening to me? But he takes the opportunity. The ending of his life is an opportunity to save. He looks to the thief next to him on the cross. And he tells him that he will be in paradise with him. That he says, it is finished. That he has not left one prophecy unfulfilled, that he takes even the last moments to fulfill every prophecy. And when everything is fulfilled, he says, it is finished. He looked around and to those that were that had hung him on the cross, who had been there to watch, to see him end his life, to crucify him, he looks down and he says, God, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. In the last moments, in the endings of Jesus' life, he finishes and strives not to find a way for all of us to continue to learn to earn a good way to God. He says, no, I am going to begin a story and a pathway of grace for you. That even though anybody from all throughout history that is to come doesn't have to earn anymore, but is now in an operation of grace. This is an operation of fulfilling all the commands perfectly, but it is an operation of coming and a surrendering of our lives. At the end of Jesus' life, he worshiped and commended his spirit to the Father. Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. Hoping in the resurrection 3 days later. Even Christ in his humanity, commending his spirit to the Lord, hoping that it is true what the Lord is going to say, that he will raise him from the dead.
our rabbi modeled a way for us as disciples to reshape and reform the way that we experience and walk through endings. And I know for a lot of you, and we talked about it, and I could just see it on some of our faces, is that endings are not something that we want to go back and think through. But the way of Jesus calls his disciples to take endings as an opportunity to worship and an opportunity to bless, to take the moment. So the question this morning that I have us is, what are you doing with your endings? What are you doing with your endings? Are you allowing them, if Christ and if Jesus is the one who restores all things, renews all things, that moves in the opposite direction of the way that the world should have them move and or teaches you to move, if God is the restorer of all things and if he can restore endings, how is that influencing the way that you end? How is it that you end those seasons worshiping God for the faithfulness that he bestowed upon you in that season? Blessing by learning to step into the new season with what you have been given. How do you end careers in worshiping, thanking God for the provision that he has given you for years upon years? And how do you bless, maybe at the end of your retirement, now that you have time, how do you bless those with the time that you didn't have before? What are you doing with the end of those parenting seasons? Some of you are sending kids to school for the first time in college. Some of you are sending them back to high school. Some of them are starting senior years. Some of them are starting kindergarten. Seasons in parenting life are changing. How are you ending those seasons? Are you worshiping, thanking God for the ability and the blessing it is to raise our children? And are you looking and blessing your children, saying, God, as you send them off into a new season, are you sending them off to go and to work it out on their own? Or are you looking in the eyes and say, son and daughter, I bless you as you go into this season. Hear the words from your father and from your mother who love you. Let me bless you as you go. You don't go on your own. What are you doing with your ending in those times of sickness and trials when you have come to the end of them, whether it's in healing or in non-healing, or in diagnosis that comes with treatment and then healing, or a diagnosis that comes not with an ending that is positive? What are you doing in those seasons where those end? Are you worshiping God who is still on his throne? And are you blessing people with presence? What are you doing with your endings of your workday? Are you going home and say, nobody bother me, I just need to be by myself? Or are you worshiping God for another day where you can be the light in the place which you work? What do you do with the end of dining experiences when you go out? Are you just looking to be in our society where it's all about the service that you are giving or your ability to bless those who have served you? Are you worshiping God? Are you blessing those who serve you? What are you doing with the end of Sabbath or worship? What are you doing when the service ends? Are you thanking God for the ability to come, to be woken up this morning, to experience community, to have a place that you have found as home? What are you doing with the end of your days? Like today. What are you doing with the end of your day? How are you ending it? I know as a father that sometimes the end of the day, 8 o'clock gets here and I want to do nothing but pump my kids in their rooms and go and go, right? Or turn on a show or do me, get in the hot tub, like whatever it is. But if that is the normal way which we operate, but yet the Lord is renewing all things, what are we doing in our day instead to take maybe a moment to read a book with my child? To pray a prayer over them, not just for their day. But I remember being challenging this by a friend, another believer in Christ, who said, I'm not just praying for my son or my daughter just for this day. I'm praying for the teacher that they're gonna have, the friends that they're gonna sit next to, the spouse that they are ultimately going to marry, the identity that they're going to form in the hard times, that the Lord will be the center of that, as well as having other influences that are pushing them towards Christ. What am I doing with the end of my days that are literally pushing people, pushing myself and others to find and follow Jesus? Endings have a purpose. Endings have so much power in there. And my encouragement to you is, what are you doing with your ending? Just being cognitive what the endings are. Like little endings from when you're done with the grocery store and then somebody who you're looking at who's been checking out people after people after people all day. And I wonder if anybody has ever looked them in the eye that day and said, thank you. Yeah, you're getting paid for it. But you don't have to. I wonder what the endings of hard moments look like. We're in arguments with friends or loved ones or spouses. Instead of walking away with a feeling of how they have hurt us, but how can we bless? How can we worship in our endings? This is my question for us today. Because I think it's not just how much you live in the morning when you have all the energy and all the patience and all of the grace and all of the mercy and all of the hope, when you have the ability to just do it all on your own. But at the end of the day, at all of your endings, when you have nothing left, what are you doing? What are you digging deep into the well, and what is that digging from? What are you grabbing? What are you pulling up in the bucket? What is it? And my prayer and my hope is that it's worship. My prayer and hope that it is blessing. That the end of every moment we became somebody, that it's the ending is not about us, about me, but it is about we. I wonder how that would change if we allowed the Lord to renew all things, even our endings. The small ones, the middle ones, the big ones. What would we do if we take a cue out of Jacob's life and learn that the endings matter? And we look at Jesus and the ending mattered. There's still work to do. If you have breath in your lungs, there's still work to do. If you have days left on this earth, there's still things to do. If you still are responsible for people, if you still have a job, if you still have time, if you still have, you've got work to do. And that work is to worship and to bless one another. Would you pray with me? Holy Spirit, you have been with us this morning. You have been with us whether we've acknowledged it from the first breath we knew we took. You long to begin and end each moment with us. You long to begin speaking and you long to end speaking. What are you saying to us this morning? Holy Spirit, what endings maybe do we need to revisit? What endings do we need to put to bed and allow the beginnings to happen? Holy Spirit, even in this moment, as we are getting to the end of our time worshiping and setting aside our communal time to gather and to focus on you, how do we end? God, you're not done yet. What do you want to do? God, would you open us to be people that end in the same way as you did? We ask this in your name. Amen.